Pete very kindly read out that story, that incredible story of God breaking in a particular way, in a peculiar way, at a particular time. And we're looking at peace this morning. And I want to ask you a question. How do you find peace? How do you get some peace in your life? Do you build walls around your life? Do you work so hard at putting them up that you never really stop because you want that space, that something that seems to be missing, that something that's literally always just around the corner but not quite in your grasp? How do you find peace? Or do you plan for that holiday? And then every single day between now and that holiday is just that little bit inconvenient. It's a day to claw through. Not so much a day to enjoy, but it's 6 days to go. It's 5 days to go. It's 4 days to go. It's 3 days to go. And then you have Christmas. A season of peace, so we're told. But every single shop is vying for your attention, telling you that they have the best bargains and that you really need to be buying what they have. How do you get peace in your life? When it's going faster and faster, when so much is being pumped into our minds from around the world, so much is telling us that we need this, that we should do that, we have to look out for this, what do we do to find peace? Maybe as a Christian, you're on some sort of quest for heaven. You're trying to find peace here and now. The reason you come to church is so that you'll finally get that service where everything works smoothly and you get that gentle lull and that gentle care, that sort of peace which you're looking for elsewhere but can't seem to find, but surely, surely it's going to be there. And then you have those that can't wait to get to heaven but for the wrong sense. They just want peace. And then you have those who almost want to go back to Eden, as if Eden was some sort of place which was, I don't know, like a desert island. No, not a desert island, but a beautiful island. A place where you've got lovely, crystal clear waterfalls, where you've got perfect trees and everything like that, and it's just wonderful. And that's what Eden is, and that's what I need to get back to. I need peace. But you know, Eden wasn't about that. It wasn't that sort of picture of an oasis. It was, dare we say, a launch pad. A place where man began. A place where we were called to reach out, where we had an understanding of our destiny, our calling, why the world was there. When Adam was raised from the dust of the ground and the breath of life was poured into him, he had a body containing 60,000 miles of blood vessels. Imagine that. With oxygen entering lungs that had a surface area of over 70 square meters and containing 300,000 small blood vessels, all intricately connected. The air to his lungs was drawn in through nasal passages from a nose capable of distinguishing over 10,000 different smells. And as this incredible being surveyed creation around him, he did so with eyes composed of over 2 million working parts, with 1 million nerve fibers connecting each eye to the brain, and with a visual cortex that translated them into pictures of incredible color and contrast and depth. This is man, fearfully and wonderfully made. You are incredible. Do you ever stop in the busyness of life when things are going on so much, when you can't seem to find that sense of security, that sense of rest, that sense of peace, and recognize that God says you are incredible, you are unique, you are made to walk in and with the power of the Holy Spirit in a relationship with your Father, and that's the only way that you can find peace. For many, peace is the absence of trouble, the absence of heartache, the absence of suffering. And of course, there's a small sense of truth in that. But that is far, far from what it's meant to be. In the Bible, peace is the prodigal son being embraced by the father. It's a coming home. It's a knowing who you are. It's embracing the gift of someone's life, and it's walking in the power of the Holy Spirit with a strong sense of identity and calling. It's about Jesus. And because it's about Jesus, peace is the reality and effect of reconciliation with God. It is not the absence of trouble, because you will find trouble. It is the presence of a person who is supremely in charge of all things and who will bring all things to the conclusion he desires as and when he sees fit. That's good news, isn't it? So in Scripture we see that shalom, peace, and yes, we will come on to our reading, is about what normal life should be like with the Heavenly Father. We were made to walk with the Heavenly Father. We were made to know security. We were made to grow in wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment, to reach out and to shape and to mold this world in which we live. And you know, God's always been about that. In various shapes and forms, down through the history of Israel, there were many ways that God sought to restore order, to bring things back to a semblance of how they should be. For example, imagine this. Imagine you made a serious mistake. You're in Israel, you've made a serious, serious mistake, and somebody's got hurt. A family's got damaged. Can you imagine how that makes you feel? And that family wants to come after you. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Your hopes are dashed. Your problems seem insurmountable. That day when things went so terribly, terribly wrong, where do you go? Where do you run to? There's no social services. There's nothing there to help you. Where'd you go? Well, in Israel, you'd have a place to go. You'd have what's called a city of refuge. In fact, there were six cities of refuge across the empire, all equal distance. And if you had problems and difficulties, you could run to one of those cities and you'd be allowed in and you'd be allowed to live there until the problem was solved and sorted out. That's pretty good news, isn't it? And the priesthood of the day, what were they? Some sort of hierarchy that was to lord it over you? No. One of their responsibilities was actually to keep all the roads clear and the bridges clear to these cities of refuge and to make sure that the signposts were in place so that if somebody had to run, they'd know where to go. No sat nav in those days. But you had the priesthood showing you where to go. And the priests also had 41 cities themselves. A place where you could go, where you could find restoration, where you could find wholeness, where you could find out how things should really be, where you could get out of the trouble you're in and find that peace and security. Now, that's pretty good news, don't you agree? That's good news, yeah? I mean, some of you are just looking straight. Is that good news? It is good news, isn't it? And then we've said it time and time before. You also have the place of Jubilee, don't you? Every 50th year. Imagine that Gemma had got it badly wrong. She'd lost her land. She'd end up owing so much money. So it belongs to Paul. She can't pay it, so she's gone into slavery. She's gone into servitude. But God is in restoration business. And every 50th year, no matter what was owed, you would have to give that person back their freedom. So Paul would have to give Gemma back her land, her property, in pristine, perfect condition. Because God does not want a society that is built on the misery and suffering of others. God is about restoration, about restoring things, about bringing them back to how they should be. And that's the heart of peace. Reconciliation between earth and heaven. Now, at the time of Jesus, you had this Emperor Augustus. He was the one who actually brought in Pax Romana. He was the one that brought in the so-called peace of the empire. And he had Pax Romana all across the empire. And he also had the Praetorian Guard, which he formed. They were like the SS of the day. They would look after him. And every year, that have their parties and things of that particular nature. And every year when it was the emperor's birthday, guess what? They'd have loads and loads of choirs coming along and they'd be singing. If you were an esteemed guest, well, you might get invited to it. But what about the other people? The people who had nothing. The slaves. The women who were denigrated. The babies left out in the street to die because nobody wanted them. The displaced millions of slaves by which Rome built her powerhouse. What about them? And so you've got this emperor, very much into his own thing, doing his own thing. And then you've got the King of Kings. Then you've got the King of Kings. Born, birthed into a manger. And you've got this angelic host singing praises. You know, one angel could wipe out this world. If you've got this fluffy angel with wings floating around, some sort of cherub, you've got the wrong sort. Because the angelic host aren't just a perfect, nice-sounding choir. They are part of the heavenly army. And you know, if somebody came into your presence, a really powerful, powerful leader, or with a powerful army, you'd wonder what they were doing there, yeah? They came to sing. Get that. The most powerful army that has ever moved in heaven and on earth came to sing. They'd make the emperor's army look like nothing. I remember reading of a man in North Korea. He was a tank commander. He was told his tank was one of the best in the world. Eventually he had to escape and he came to South Korea and he said, one of my saddest days was when I walked into a museum and I saw my tank there. And I realized that my tank, which I'd been told was the best in the world, was nothing. It was just scrap. The armies of the world, the politics of the world, they are nothing in power compared with God, nothing at all. The God who puts cities of refuge in place because he cares for and loves people. The God who ordained that there would be a year of Jubilee so that people could start afresh and start over again. And the God who reached out to who? To shepherds. In a sense, they'd drawn the short straw. They were the night shift. They were looking after the temple flocks, but they weren't allowed to go anywhere near the temple because, well, you know what, you're unclean. You're not really in the right position. But you can look after the flocks. Out of all the people in Israel that God would have celebrated with, he chose to send part of the angelic host, the most powerful army that has ever or ever will be, to sing praises because of the birth of the most powerful man, God incarnate, that has ever walked these earthly realms, the most devastatingly powerful person who could have whispered a word and crushed a nation, had come to be crushed, beaten, torn, ridiculed, ostracized, nailed to a cross so that you could live. That's the story of Christmas. So that you could find forgiveness. So that you could understand that peace is not the absence of trouble. It is not what you build because you can't build enough. It is the presence of the King of Kings. It is total and utter acceptance by the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that acceptance is not based upon what you've done or what you will do. If you think you've based it upon what you've done, then that's good works. If you think you're basing it on what you do now, that's also good works. Good works do not save you. Good works do not keep you saved. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. Hallelujah. And so peace for us is not coming into a gathering, trying to find that feeling that I think I should have had all week, but it's been a little bit elusive, but now it's Sunday, so it's down to my friends at the front to get it right for me. Oops, didn't quite like that song attitude. Neither is it about trying to find some sort of utopia. Buddhism's been doing that for centuries and hasn't got them anywhere. Neither is it trying to go out and conquer the world. Religion's tried to do that already. It's going out with the word of God. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. His word is that sword. That he will challenge the isms of our world, that he will challenge the decadence of our world, that he will challenge the political correctness of our world, because he loves the world, because he cares for us. And peace for us is not trying to make ourselves feel good, but to embrace and understand the goodness of God, even in the most difficult of situations. A young woman was kidnapped a few years ago by Boko Haram. She was married off, Christian girl. She'd only gone home to visit her family. And she was married off and she had a child and she escaped with that child. And when she escaped, she spoke about her child's name. My child is called Emmanuel, because in all that I was going through, I knew that God was with me. Other people, incredible stories from across the world, going through all manner of difficulty and hardship. They know the peace that is not the absence of trouble, but reconciliation between heaven and earth. The peace that comes about from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They understand what the kingdom of God is like in everyday, difficult, dynamic, harsh situations, because no matter what they go through, they know Jesus is with them. That's quite different, isn't it, from going along to church to get your buzz? You can't. In fact, that sort of person, that sort of thinking makes us the most selfish people on earth. The most selfish on earth. When God calls us to love by giving, to share by spending our energy, to reaching down and uplifting others, to walking year in, year out, recognizing that there is no such thing as a quick fix. That's DFS sofas if you want a quick fix. You can get your sofa straight away. But it's hard graft. You walk with people. So often we want to give people information, because that's easy. That doesn't require me giving myself. But Jesus did not come to give us information. He came to give us his life. And he came to walk with us so that we in turn can reach out, like the testimonies we've been hearing this morning, so that we can reach out to people who are hopeless and helpless. And we can share with them what true shalom peace is, the restoration of a life, the renewal of life in and with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news. If we try, well, we can try. We're very good at trying. We can try for years and years to try and find that feeling, that buzz, but you know what? Ain't going to work. You'll end up religious. You'll end up like a dried old leaf. You'll end up trying this method, reading that book and finding a new method, trying it for a few months, and then giving up and reading another book and trying a new method. And that goes on for a few months, and then finding this particular group which seemed to say things your way and sticking with them for a few months, and then you'll find another one. And you know what? You are never, ever going to find that peace that way. Because peace has already come, and it's in Jesus. And it's in rolling your sleeves up and my sleeves up. And it's giving our time when we're tired and drained of energy, knowing that he will help us. It's seizing those opportunities, like in a restaurant, and talking in such a way that a man has tears running down his face. I have hope for that man, don't you? It's caring for the poor. It's reaching out to people. It's recognizing that Paul's here, living in a building.
It's getting alongside him, not just to tell him where he's going wrong, but to encourage him in what's going right. It's celebrating James getting a flat, Jenya coming back off a holiday. It's recognizing, isn't it, Charlie and Irene sitting here holding hands. Charlie's asleep. That's fine. I don't laugh at that. Seriously, that's fine. Because he can rest in here because he knows his wife's safe. Because he knows she's safe. And that's perfect, isn't it? Don't you think that's good? I celebrate those things. It's getting a cake in men's shed that none of us could quite work out because I'd forgotten what it was. But no one's got food poisoning. It's praying with Mary, who's moving out the area soon. It's recognising that you've got Ian and Penny with great difficulties with a mother who's got dementia and a father who doesn't want to acknowledge it, and praying for them. It's recognising there's a Leah in a hospital that needs help and support and love. It's understanding that food bank can be darned hard work at times. And it's getting strange things coming into the church, isn't it, Alfie? I've never had this happen before. Alfie comes in and says his mum's made a donation to the church. And it's a whole load of cupcake holders. And I said, what's a cupcake holder? There you go. Thanks, Alfie. Give your mum a kiss and say thank you from us. It's somebody coming in to food bank. And we had a Christmas tree and she bursts into tears when she gets it because she didn't have one. But it's not just one area of society. It's the businessman who suddenly realizes that he's empty, that he's got all the money in the world, that he's got the wealth, that he's got the houses, that he's got everything, but he or she is devastatingly empty, and then finding out about Jesus Christ. Because God is not exclusive to a set few that we perceive as going through trouble. Anyone who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is in trouble. But they don't have to be. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And many people will flood into carol services at Christmas to sing traditional hymns and feel nice. Get it? But it's not about feeling nice, is it? It's much more than that. It's about life. It's about the dynamics of life. It's about being involved, because that's what peace is. Reconciliation with a father, evidenced in how we reach out to a lost and hurting world. You want to know that peace that Jesus speaks of, which surpasses all understanding? Just start helping people more and more. But do it in his strength. Ask him to strengthen you, and you'll find that peace is there. That jump in your heart is there. Those shepherds must have experienced. Who'd have thought they'd have that day, that night? Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. So with that in mind, we've got a couple of things to show you. One is a video showing a DVD. A video shows my age. It's a DVD of what's going on in the world. There are many, many beautiful, vibrant, dynamic Christian organizations reaching out. We want to get more involved with letting you know about them. Heads up, Jonathan. Next year, because I want to see what's going on in my world. In your prayer time, you must be praying for somebody somewhere in the world, because that's part of what it is to walk with the King of Peace. I want to show you this. And then we're going into listen to a song, just to relax and listen to a song. We've heard it here a couple of weeks ago. It's Waymaker. And recognize that whatever you're going through, whatever's happening to you, whatever you are going through, you can still pray for other people. Even when it's hard and when it's difficult, you can pray for other people. You can still reach out, even when you feel empty, because God will enable you to do so. I remember years ago, a woman coming in, she was due to be evicted on the Tuesday. On Easter Sunday, she came in and gave Easter cards out to everybody. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? That's unmatchable. That doesn't come from plans and agendas. That comes from the heart of the King and Kings. So with that in mind, and having had some brief and a very brief overview and looking at peace, the peace of how God speaks in, reaches in, restores, uplifts, and how he encourages you to reach out, reconciliation, restoration, the normal of the kingdom. Let's just listen to this and see what an organization is doing. And then as the second song comes on, just pray. Just ask God to help you to make a way, to reach out more, to know his touch, to be drawn deeper into what he is doing right now.